It's now been about 3 years since the big changes were carried out in Jammu and Kashmir. We know what happened with Article 370, 35A, etc., etc. I am sure most of you can write an entire essay on all that. But what is it that this was supposed to lead to? So one of the things that residents of the valley, particularly Muslim residents of the valley, worried about or expressed concerns about was a change in demographic balance or demographic picture in the valley or in Jammu and Kashmir, because as we know, Ladakh was taken away as a separate union territory. Now, how would a demographic change take place? Now, the fears expressed were that maybe the BJP government would bring in people from outside and settle them in the valley, a bit like what was called as the Israeli solution, just as the Israelis might have done in West Bank areas by making settlement. Now, obviously, these things are much too impractical in India for economic reasons. Also, because you can only move people who are willing to move, leave their homes. This is not a Zionist country in that sense. There is no Zionism-like impulse, which is coming, congregating in one place, leaving your homes, leaving your villages, or leaving your native places. So the idea that maybe another 50, 60, 70 lakh people will be brought into Jammu and Kashmir to change the state's demographic balance was a non-starter. And it was also, in a way, a fear that maybe wasn't rooted in reality or in a realistic understanding of the situation. But, now there is a but in this situation. But, following the changes in the constitution or the constitutional status of Jammu and Kashmir, other things were meant to follow. And one of them now is seeming to be unfolding. And that is with the statement of the Chief Electoral Officer of the state, Hirdesh Kumar, who has said that now a new voter registration will be carried out. And as that survey is carried out for updating the electoral rolls, those who are residents in Kashmir, those who are living in Kashmir for a reasonable amount of time, but they don't have to be permanent resident. Permanent resident was like natives of Kashmir, or what was earlier called state subjects. Earlier in the state, only those could vote who were state subjects, Kashmiris, Hindus or Muslims. But those whose families had lived in Kashmir, not just lived in Kashmir, but belonged to Kashmir 1947 onwards. So any outsider who lived in Kashmir, even for 30 years, 40 years, who went in from outside, either had to vote in their own native places or in Jammu and Kashmir, they could vote, they could register in the electoral rolls, but only vote for parliament elections. They could not vote in assembly elections. That was by way of giving the state and people of the state a certain autonomy over their fate and a certain exclusivity on their political choices. Now, once Article 370 and 35A, etc., etc., have gone, no such special status remains. With those changes, Kashmir became like any other state in India. So, one country, one system. Remember, it's the Chinese who always used to say one country, two systems for Hong Kong. And lately, they've been working on ending that, so it becomes one country, one system. Not fully, but they've gone about halfway there. Kashmir, only to this extent, was an example of one country, two systems in India. With these changes, on 5th of August 2019, Government of India, Modi government, changed this. Now, Kashmir is like any other state. What is the impact on elections? Because Kashmir for 4 years has been administered from Delhi, has not had an elected government. In 2018, the BJP Mehbooba Mufti, that is a party PDP, that coalition government had fallen. Since then, the center has administered Kashmir, and since 2019, Kashmir has also been a union territory. Now, it can't go on forever like this. So chances are that next year an election will take place in Kashmir. Now, if an election takes place in Kashmir, if you look at it from the BJP's point of view, what's the point of doing all this if you can't come into power in Kashmir? Or if you can't at least have a decisive say in Kashmir that you haven't had so far? You might have been partners with PDP, but still, because the valley has more seats in the state assembly, And also the valley is 97% Muslim. We have to understand Kashmir's basic demography, and we have to go back to the 2011 census, because that's the only one that's available. That census tells us that in the state of Jammu and Kashmir, there are 12.5 million people. That is 1.25 crore people. That is entire Jammu and Kashmir. 2011 census would include Ladakh also, but now we know that Ladakh has been taken away. So 1.25 crore people, of which 68.31% were Muslim. So a little over two-thirds were Muslim. But more importantly, and 28.43% were Hindus, the rest were Buddhists and others. Nevertheless, in the valley, this situation was different. In the valley, where nearly 7 million people lived. So out of the 12.5 million people, 7 million people in the 2011 census, that's 11 years back, they lived in the valley. Of these, 97% were Muslim. That is the nub of the issue. Now, as long as 97% of these are Muslim, it's very tough for the BJP, which is essentially a Hindu majoritarian party, to make inroads there. BJP, I mean, it may object to my describing them as Hindu majoritarian, but I will just give you one fact that in UP they can easily get. They've got twice, two-thirds or thereabouts majority without a single Muslim being elected. Sometimes they can get a majority without even fielding a Muslim candidate. So they are a Hindu majoritarian party. It's tough for them to make any headway in Kashmir Valley as long as it's 97% Muslim. So the fear on the Kashmiri Valley Muslim side is that the BJP will bring in people from outside, essentially Hindus or maybe Hindus and Sikhs, and that'll upset the political balance, and that will upset the voting power of people of the Kashmir Valley. For the BJP, on the other hand, what's the point of abolishing this one country, two systems business and making Kashmir like any other state of India, unless you can address this issue from their point of view? From in their worldview, this is not just their own political interest, but they also see it in terms of their definition of the national interest, because they have insecurities about any place having a very high Muslim majority. So I'm stating it as clinically as possible. Now, the basic change, what was the basic change? All of India, all of us elsewhere in the country, besides Jammu and Kashmir, besides the erstwhile Jammu and Kashmir, the pre-August 5, 2019 Jammu and Kashmir, all of us as voters, we were governed by the Representation of People Act 1950 and then 1951. Now, that applies to all of us. But Jammu and Kashmir in 1957, any laws enacted by Indian Parliament did not automatically extend to Jammu and Kashmir. Jammu and Kashmir Assembly had to ratify them again. In this case, Jammu and Kashmir passed their own Representation of People Act in 1957. That limited voting rights in the state only to state subjects, and that came from the state's special status. That means an outsider who lived in the state could not get a permanent job, could not buy a property, could not get seats reserved in central institutions on behalf of the state, because anybody living there wasn't a permanent resident or wasn't a state subject. That is the terminology preferred in erstwhile Kashmir, and definitely did not have a vote. So all these people then had to register as voters in their native places. That is now going to change if this announcement by Hirdesh Kumar, the chief electoral officer, becomes a reality, which means anybody who's a resident in Kashmir can now vote. Now, this has led to a lot of fears, a lot of rumor mongering and some misconceptions. Now, one of the things that's floating is that, oh, even the government is saying that this will result in about 25 lakh more voters being added. That means 25 lakh Hindus will be brought in from outside and they'll be made voters. So the demographic balance, also the political balance in the state will shift decisively in the BJP's favor. Now, it is likely and possible, and in fact, it is reasonable to expect that a lot of the residents particularly laborers from Bihar, UP, etc., who are working in Jammu and Kashmir, they will be Hindu. But then is the number 25 lakhs? So from where does this number 25 lakhs come? Again, we have to look at data. So the last updating was January 2019. At that point, we have to see how many people had attained the age of 18 because they became eligible to vote. That number was 76.22 lakhs. Now, since then, electoral rolls in J&K have not been updated. Between January 2019 and now, 3 years have passed. So you would imagine that a certain number of people who might have been 15 years old then would have turned 18 now. And not just now, this new enumeration or this new updating of electoral rolls will take place next year. It's expected that this will take place in July. Now, if this new updating of electoral rolls takes place, say notionally, listing those who had turned 18 up to July that year, that is 3.5 years since the last enumeration, that number is then estimated to have become 98.96 lakhs, which means between January of 2019 and July of 2022, another 93,000 people would have become adults or eligible to vote, would have crossed the age of 18. So it doesn't mean that this 23 lakh people will be brought in from outside. So we need that clarity. But a lot of the others who are living and working there, maybe 2 lakhs, 3 lakhs, 4 lakhs, 5 lakhs, 6 lakhs, it's tough to say, they will get entitled to vote. So that change can come about. Now, the other thing that is now being discussed and I see it coming from a lot of social media handles in the valley, but also from a lot on the Hindu right, on the side of the Hindu right, because one is fearful of this, the other sees it as an opportunity, which is that, oh, we have lakhs of these soldiers serving in Jammu and Kashmir, particularly in Kashmir Valley, all of them will become voters and that will tilt the balance. No such thing is going to happen. And no such thing can happen because in our country, the law is very clear. It's been so for a long time. It's service personnel, Army, Navy, Air Force. So what happens to a Navy sailor who's on a voyage for 6 months? Where would that Navy sailor vote? Sailor may be in a submarine, maybe on an aircraft carrier, whatever. So there are rules for service personnel. And the rule is that you vote in your native place. You are registered to vote in your native place, and now you don't even have to go through that cumbersome process of sending a postal ballot, it reaching on time, then somebody opening the envelope and counting it. Now for them, there is a system called ETPBS. ETPBS is electronically transferred postal ballot system. So the soldiers posted here, whether of the Army or Air Force, obviously no Navy in Kashmir, or BSF, CRPF, etc., IDPP, they will continue to vote in their native places, in the constituencies where they've been voting. They will not become voters in Kashmir. Now, how will the new voters join? So, new voters have to fill what is called as Form 6. Form 6 means you have to give history of your family, when did you come, what happened, how long you've been resident, where were you voter earlier, because you can't have a vote in two places. That used to happen earlier. Now with Aadhaar linkage and electronics getting so much better, it's becoming increasingly not impossible, but very, 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 very difficult. So to think that people who have millions of votes in Bihar will also be given votes in Kashmir, I mean, somebody wants to be malevolent, many funny things can be done. But under the law, unlikely, in fact, under the law, impossible that such a thing should happen. Once again, if somebody's been registered as a voter, anybody, any voter in the same constituency can then go to the State Election Commission by filling up what is called as Form 7. These are regular provisions of Representation of People Act. These are not Kashmir specific because now the National Act applies in Kashmir. Fill Form 7 and object to a voter being enrolled in their constituency. So all this will now be available. Now, Kashmiri politicians are very angry. Many are saying S.Y. Taregami, who I respect greatly, he's the left leader, a rare left leader in the valley, keeps winning, very popular, very hardworking, very sincere. This is a plan to disenfranchise the people of Kashmir, and he sees this in addition to the delimitation exercise. Now, what is the delimitation exercise? It used to be one state, now Ladakh's been taken away. So they are now redrawing the constituencies. What we had said also can become gerrymandering. So you can also draw constituencies sometimes to suit yourselves. I'm not saying that gerrymandering is taking place in Kashmir, but constituencies are being redrawn. In the process, constituencies are also being increased. Now, delimitation was carried out by a commission, carried out by a very respected judge, that is Rajaram Prakash Desai, and that has said that seats should now be increased as follows. So, seats in the valley should be increased from 46 to 47. That's an increase of 1. But seats in Jammu should be increased from 37 to 43. That's an increase of 6, so increase of 1 in what is 97% a Muslim majority area, against an increase of 6 in what is not such a, it is still Muslim majority, but not such an overwhelming Muslim majority area. What this is, how this is seen in the valley by valley politicians and people in the valley is that this is a way of increasing the BJP's clout. So the seats BJP can win becomes theoretically more because Jammu gets 6 seats more and the valley gets 1 seat more. So Yusuf Tarigami and others see the new electoral rolls or making other non-permanent residents or state subjects living there also voters in Kashmir, combined with delimitation as an effort to disenfranchise. They use the word disenfranchise, but what they mean is it's taking away what was right now a kind of a protective power or a self-preservation power that people of the valley had. Delimitation Commission has given some other recommendations. For example, they have said this has not been accepted to be implemented yet, but they've said that a lot of the Kashmiri Pandits have left the valley. Right? They were driven out in 1990 in a very brutal way, and they deserve to vote in their state should they wish to, but they can't come back and vote. You can't bring them back. You can't resettle them back. You can't turn the wheel of history back to 1990 or pre-1990. So reserve 2 seats for them, that is displaced pundits in the state assembly, and because they will not come and vote here or contest here, you can nominate members to those seats. Plus, the Delimitation Commission also says that if you so wish, you can also nominate members to the seats reserved for Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Now, that's a peculiar thing between India and Pakistan because both countries don't accept the legitimacy or claim that the other country has on the part of Kashmir controlled by them. India keeps 24 seats reserved in the J&K Assembly for people in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Notionally, because that is part of our country, we can't hold elections there, but we have these vacancies, these seats. Once this becomes part of our country, as it should, then they will vote. The Pakistanis similarly they return the compliment. They have seats reserved for what they call as Indian-held Kashmir. This Delimitation Commission is now set that should the government so choose, government can also nominate members for these seats. Once again, in the Kashmir Valley, this will be seen as part of a larger plot to change the demographic balance. Now, as we keep saying, cut the clutter is not about us giving our opinion, so I'm holding back any opinion, but I'm just laying out the facts before you. But the central analytical point is that once the special status of Jammu and Kashmir was taken away on 5th of August 2019, all the rest of the discussion and argument right now becomes purely academic and notional because all of India's laws, national laws, now apply to Jammu and Kashmir, to currently the Union Territory of Jammu and Kashmir. You might have sometimes noticed that once a couple of weeks, we share with you an older episode of Cut the Clutter. Now, some of these are quite old, so we presume that many of you have not seen it because our audiences have been growing marvelously. We are also turning 5 now. In fact, when you start watching this, chances are we'll be a few hours from our 5th birthday. That is Saturday, 20th of August. So since it's our 5th birthday and we have a body of work to display and or flaunt, so we are sharing some of our older work, which you may have missed, again with you. And this is some of our most watched or most read work. So please keep track of it. Second, some of the things we might have said or written have become relevant again. So as it becomes relevant again, we again share it with you. This Sunday, for example, we might share with you something that I had done shortly after the big changes in Kashmir, where we described in quite a bit of detail all these complex boundaries and territories in the Jammu Kashmir, Ladakh, Pamir, Tibet region. So keep track of these and keep track of our work. We have turned 5 now. Thank you very much for being there. We would not have come this far without you. We are also counting on your support going ahead.